Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 205, The Greater Good, comes your way now.
This is an episode written by Logan Sculter, directed by your pilot director, your series producer, Marco Siega. This is an episode with a 0.9 rating, 6.74 million viewers. That bounces back from last week's series low of a 0.6 rating.
And this thereby showing why you need the regular time slot aired even later than the time slot prediction of 8:30 came on about 8:41. And obviously, with an audience knowing when approximately to tune in, good for a third of its rating restored.
Now, the schedule does show, of course, a new episode next week, as the commercial showed. The schedule on the CBS end shows A God Friended Me on November 10th, although no title there. Other schedule sources don't have the show, charted out past next week. I think that's probably just a scheduling snafu versus, red alert, because as you suggested before, Pete, the ratings have been pretty steady.
They have. And I think, too, when we consider that they'll have a sixth episode next week, a seventh, it would seem we'll get an eighth in a row after that. They usually don't take sweeps in November off any of the new shows. So realistic to expect that, if it's a 20 episode season order, we'll be 2/5 of the way done in a couple weeks.
Yeah, certainly there are scenarios where maybe it goes up to the middle of December without a break. I think obviously other schedule considerations can play a factor there, but all systems go certainly for GFM.
Well, what do you say we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode? Miles and Kara are out for a run in Central Park, and Rakesh, back at work, hacking Claire Thompson's Facebook account, and Kara's getting her old job back. Everything's swell, though Claire's the daughter of Bishop Thompson, who beat out Arthur for the bishopship. They go see the good bishop, and Arthur's there. He shares that Claire's been sober for 2 years. She also needs to step out or work at the hospital.
At the same hospital, Rakesh is visiting girlfriend Jaya. He just so happens to notice the crackdown on pharmacy meds and passes Claire, headed to the pharmacy. Looks like she's stealing. At Ali's bar, Arthur is brought up to speed, and Rakesh uses more Facebook magic to connect Miles to mutual online friend Rachel Blake from season one. Meanwhile, Kara's back at Catapult, but oh no, has a smaller office and competition atop the leaderboard. She steps out to meet up with Miles and Rachel, and Rachel knows this could mean a relapse.
The three go track down Claire, who is not relapsed. She's instead running a free clinic. Rakesh is out to dinner with Jaya and her parents. They feel Rakesh's job promotion means it's engagement time. Claire's been running the clinic since a few months ago. She figures no way she'll be caught. So how can the God Squad help? Back at Ali's bar, time for Rakesh and Jaya to debrief. How can Jaya proceed without disappointing her parents? What if he fakes being fired?
Miles meets up at Arthur and Trisha's place. Son updates father. How can Arthur help? Church grants are a slow process. Maybe Bishop Thompson can lend a hand. The bishop sees his daughter's move as a rookie mistake, but he'll help if he can. At Catapult, Kara gets told steely handsome Adam really is a great writer. He's impressed with Kara's writing, but it's kind of serial, He'll bet his sweet office against her small one. Who can get to the leaderboard first? Nose to the grindstone.
Kara meets up with Miles outside the hospital. Hey, Claire, where are you headed? Turns out the good bishop told on Claire, and now she's out of a job. She puts the pieces together. Arthur is her father's chief of staff. Oh, you didn't know, Miles? back over to Jaya parents' palatial home, the bad fake news is broken. Jaya's parents aren't worried. After the wedding, Jaya can pay those bills on her sweet physician's salary.
Miles confronts Arthur. The elder says protecting Claire from arrest is helping her. Except, message from Rachel, Claire has been arrested for buying painkillers. At the police precinct, she's been bailed out and swears she's not headed for relapse. Has she been helped at all? Arthur may have struck out, but he feels this is proof he shouldn't be the chief of staff. That rings a bell for Kara. How can the Thompsons be brought together?
The three go see Bishop Thompson, who admits to being 20 years sober. Time to fess up. Miles, Kara, Arthur, and the bishop go see Claire at her near-empty clinic, and Thompson reveals his past. Time for the church to fund her clinic. He'll also share his cover-up at the hospital and step down. At Ali's bar, perhaps ready to fess up, are Rakesh and Jaya, but at Arthur and Trish's place, he's fessing up too. It's a truth shower. He'll be giving himself over to Trish full-time now.
Miles steps up to the mic, giving us that patented God-friended-me uplift, talking about stepping up and marking successes. The Thompsons will go to support meetings together, and Kara makes peace with Adam's superior story. He even liked her to work on a story with him. Jaya updates Rakesh, time to keep their relationship a secret from her parents. Knock, knock, it's Kara at the door. Time to have an unplanned date. Back at the church, Arthur is getting another shot at being Bishop of New York.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, I have what might be a little bit of a touchy question here. Okay, everybody who's on this show is fabulous and wonderful, and certainly the show is about celebrating all kinds of people, but the guy playing Steely Handsome Adam, sometimes he talks like reading lines for first time.
It's funny that you pick up on that. I picked a little bit of woodenness up, but I was amazed both on Facebook and on Twitter how people noted like a, you know, third rate bad guy vibe out of him.
I have such high regard for the complex nuance that drives this show, that makes things look easy. You know, I've spoken many times before about the show really staying away from internal conflict amongst the characters and kind of moving to these external things of how do we resolve this issue? It's not kind of, you know, I hate you, Dad, and I hate you, Mom, and things of that sort. This guy does feel off like a black-hatted villain who wants to work on the story with Kara, and let's go out for a bite to eat, and wait, let's smooch. No, wait, she has a boyfriend. Surely we're not headed in that direction.
I mean, it seems all too predictable, and I think that's one thing the show has done well, is not be predictable. But boy, it does feel like he serves the purpose of providing potential romantic tension as things ratchet up with Miles. Now they're going to be working on a story together. He too is also ace reporter. She has something to prove, has changed her mind about gossip, which, let's be honest, is crap. Okay. Is completely antithetical to this show's idea of meaningful dialogue, of changing lives. It feels as if Kara's storyline with Catapult and the Chatter Guy, by the way, what's up with every news organization on this show starting with a C, by the way? Is this an in-universe joke? We'll have to come up with some other names here for publications. It feels like this is all designed with Kara coming back in the smaller office and being marginalized, like she's meant to go through this only to strike out on her own with some kind of independent venture that's not the book. Maybe she starts a blog maybe she starts the writing equivalent of a podcast.
I certainly do welcome Kara getting her own portion of the story, one that by and large is separate from, you know, having her profession dependent on the account. For as much as I sometimes have a little fun with, Rakesh is the only one with a job and it has to be places and whatnot. You know, I understand the conceit that sometimes he leaves in the middle of the day for hours at a stretch so he can go to, you know, Washington Square Park and see a lady who sells balloons, because that's what the story calls for. But at least there's the pretense of him having a job. And I welcome this journey for Kara. I think, too, there's kind of a good, perhaps small, but there's a good life lesson there. You know, she had moved on and thought she could come back to them with open arms. And, you know, sometimes circumstances change. And when you, you know, when you leave a situation like that, you need to start back towards the bottom again.
We talk about the flavor of this show and its writing room. And again, that nod towards non-predictive storytelling, even though we're dealing with a God account that has predictive AI. Perhaps the Adam competition storyline is there to be misread, that Miles is going to see her working with this other man and it's going to, you know, upset the balance they're trying to form, you know, 3 o'clock unplanned dates and all.
Pete, speaking of some of these character elements here, I have to say I enjoyed the Rakesh Jaya and her parents storyline. I think that, you know, depending on one's culture, that certainly is still a contemporary issue. And surprisingly, one that's also being discussed on CBS on Survivor with a woman who's in a similar arranged marriage situation, kind of similarly unhappy. So thumbs up CBS for, you know, using minority characters, getting some cultural discussion going on in there. And I think it's a really sympathetic story. And I kind of buy Jaya's solution, which is she doesn't want to disrespect her parents, nor does she want to do what they're saying. So she's going to find the middle, even if it is kind of a lie.
Because keeping the secret breakup, of course, is going to work out. No one will ever find out about that in episode 9. But I really enjoy having Shari Raja back on this show. You know, it's funny, Joy exits for this week and Jaya reenters. I hope there is a way to get them both on to balance all of them in, because I think Jaya brings an element to Rakesh and the relationship there and more fully forms him. And like to see her, what with her adventures past and present with the God account. You gotta wonder, so it's her first appearance in season 2. Is she back on a more regular basis? Is the secret breakup the writer's room solution to she's back, but she's not back?
Oh, I think it's definitely the latter in terms of, you know, due respect to the pecking order on the show, I don't know that the Rakesh Jaya fomance or hidden romance is necessarily rating high on the list of things that they want to touch in with every week. So the ability for, oh man, she's working another double, you know, oh, it's got off the phone with her. I think we'll see that as she gets interspersed here and there over the next, 4, 5, 6 episodes.
What about Joy?
I was surprised, Pete, that Joy was still gone. I do really, really suspect that she'll be back in a couple episodes as well. The show certainly committing to what it gave us in terms of, you know, she's gone, gone for good. If for good, then becomes asterisk. She's back after a couple of weeks. I think that's believable, but they delivered on the meal that they themselves ordered.
It is a juggling act, and to have these performers is an embarrassment of riches. This on top of being able to tap into previous friends like a Rachel, going to be a returning friend suggestion next week. But when you consider how the show moves within that world, you know, to have Jessica Liu come on for the first four episodes to take this one off, and it's probably an issue of just scheduling. She had been so heavy into the first four episodes that, all right, you give her this juicy role last week, what with the daughter found and maintaining that secret, and then you get her into Chicago and she should come back next episode, but we'll have to see.
I mean, Pete, if they hold this up long enough and a fan outcry is such, you know, GFM Chi-Town could be the spinoff headed by Joy. You never know.
Last one from me, Matt. Again, with the ability of this writing team to not be predictable, it almost felt like, he's going to get the bishop is going to lose the position and give it to the runner up. And I was grateful that they didn't go that way. But I think there's a serious explanation to be made that Bishop Thompson proffered Arthur's name without his consent and was awarded the job and now is essentially put in the position to have to accept it, having already assured his fiance, that's it, no more church for me.
Yeah, I think the story desire for, you know, work versus home, calling versus the everyday, I think the story desire is a little obvious. That doesn't make it bad necessarily. I just think we can see the want of the writers here. I do agree with you. It does seem a little writerly. I mean, last time there was an opening for the bishopship, there was the election, right?
Yes.
And here, I mean, I guess, Pete, I must confess, I don't know the electoral college nature of the Episcopal Church. I would imagine if there's going to be an election one time, you could just do another election. Although, you know, maybe this is under some sort of resignation type situation. I don't know. I don't know that the show even needs to give us a line or two to explain it other than, you know, Arthur's been named or being courted or somewhere in the middle. But certainly the timing is a writerly one that he has just made a commitment to give himself over to Trish full time, at which point the church says, we need you back full time.
Do we have the wedding occurring next week? It's the sixth episode. We were told 6 weeks at the beginning of the season. Is all that going to go to a head? Arthur's headed down the aisle, but wait, I have to perform the wedding, not just be in it.
Well, it occurs to me, Pete, 6 weeks from the first episode could be the seventh episode. So, but I think we're certainly, we definitely had some story countdown in terms of Trish saying, you know, oh, you're here to help. I don't remember the exact line, but, you know, look at wedding centerpieces or something like that. Is it a case, Pete, that there he is and everyone's there and you get your classic tearjerker, you know, but wait, where is the car? Look, the limo has arrived. Limo driver gets out with an, I don't know, look on his face because the back of the car is empty.
Or, like I suggested, reaches the altar and then it's, I can't marry this woman because I'm the bishop and I can't marry myself to someone. In comes replacement bishop.
Pete, maybe from that dramatic moment, we get the return of season one's Rabbi Zoe, really hammering home the multi-faith nature of this. Pete, maybe indeed the ceremony moves outside of the church into, you know, Central Park or something like that, just kind of hammering home, you know, God is everywhere. God is in every house. God is amidst the trees and the outdoor arbors and such like that. I hope I don't sound overly jokey. I'm making light of what could be written, but I think that it could make for a really special moment for the characters.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, the first tweet from Peter, that's at TweetScala, who says, I can't wait for tomorrow. Have a great week, guys. Pete, off to a great week indeed, talking Godfriend and me here. And also a tweet from our pal, Dr. Bob Keeley. That's at R. Keeley on Twitter. He says, one of the things I liked about season one of GFM is how they almost always surprised me in each episode. That happens with a lot less frequency now. I'm beginning to wonder how long I'll stick with it. Truth be told, one of the things keeping me there is your podcast.
Wow, that's really complimentary. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly kind words there from Dr. Bob. And it certainly is nice knowing that we can all get together over this show. Yeah, I think even in season one, there were some episodes that really connected me with me. There were other episodes where I was a little less happy with things. But it's always a special spot on the TV schedule to sit down for some God Friended Me.
And that's just it. It remains this bright point on our schedule. Granted, it was overlapping for us last night with Watchmen on HBO, which you want to talk about two polar opposites on the spectrum. Watchmen being this heavy, dense type of show where the littlest detail, and then God Friended Me on the other end with these uplifting storylines, not without its mystery, but nothing that's going to force us to, you know, read secondary and tertiary texts to really decode it.
And I think that certainly is not to talk down to the show. I think that they know what they have in terms of creating that kind of feel good place where, you know, where you can kind of rely on, I don't want to say a predictable story, a familiar story week after week to bring you something wholesome and something good, and to maybe not ask you to look into the very soul of a nation, that sort of thing. And I don't know, there just continues to be that boost that I get from the show week after week.
Well, speaking of boosts, Matt, there's no bigger boost than logging on to patreon.com/fantasticgeek and seeing the litany of contributors who helped to make this podcast, the Watchmen podcast by Fantastic Geek, the Mandalorian podcast by Fantastic Geek, the Runaways podcast by Fantastic Geek, the Star Trek Picard podcast by Fantastic Geek, and all the other 19 podcasts by Fantastic Geek go.
It truly does mean so much that we are listener supported, particularly this super busy time of year where, you know, our bandwidth and storage costs certainly are reflective of the effort that we are putting out there. So the help, the support, always appreciated by those who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
All it takes is $1 a month to get you in the door. That's a measly quarter a week for what we provide you. Please tell us it's worth it and help us out today.
Well, Pete, all sorts of perks there. The best, though, is a freebie. How can people talk to you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,749 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek, all one word, with the P and the H. Like it today.
For those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, I know that we have Watchmen Wednesdays circled for a few days from now. Maybe some Star Wars before then, a little Star Wars after then, depending on how the old promotional machine starts to rev up. But certainly, Pete, for those here for God Friend and Me, we will be back next Monday to talk the next episode of the series, both on the Pop Culture Podcast feed and on the GFM solo feed. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you, Pete, the final word.
The secret of true happiness is trusting in God.